The Green Sun Show is brought to you by CEA Technology, a leader in building indoor growing systems that allow you to grow pesticide-free and conserve fertilizer, water, and energy to grow crops sustainably. Visit CEATECHN.com to learn more.
One or two? Do you see better with one, glasses, or two, LASIK surgery? I trust my eyes to the Northwest Indiana Eye and Laser Center, located in Valparaiso, Indiana. The state-of-the-art office and surgery center is the best in the region, providing complete eye care, including exams, glasses, and eye surgery. To make an appointment, call 219-464-8223. That's 219-464-8223. Or visit their website, nwindianaeyeandlaser.com. Trust your eye care to the best. And we thank the Northwest Indiana Eye and Laser Center for their support. I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is Green Sense, where we bring you eco-innovations that are changing your world. Hunter Miller, public observing educator at Chicago's Adler Planetarium, is here with an update on the upcoming solar eclipse and a number of events that the planetarium's offering. Hunter, welcome to the Green Sense Show.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Well, we've talked to Michelle a number of times, and she's great. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to join us today, but we're happy to have you here. I always tell her that she has the best job in Chicago. I think you have the second best job because you work with her. Tell us how you fit in, and tell us something that you love about your job.
Yeah, so you definitely hit the nail on the head there. I feel so lucky to have the position that I do have at the planetarium. So you might be hearing public observing educator, you know, what the heck does that mean? And so really what it means is I get to take telescopes outside, let the public look through them, give as many people as I can a chance to, you know, connect with astronomy. And I mean, that is just such an awesome title to have. I don't think there's many people that have that kind of a job in the city, that's for sure.
And you get paid to do it.
Exactly. I know. I don't have to do it for free. That's amazing. And I would say, you know, my favorite part has to be, you know, it's awesome that I get the opportunity to look through a lot of really cool telescopes. But I think what is even more meaningful is giving other people that opportunity and seeing the look in their eye when they look through the eyepiece for the first time and see the details on the moon and seeing rings around Saturn and moons around Jupiter. Really connecting with space in that way. And it's that look that they get when they look through it. That's my favorite part.
What kind of training and education did it take to get your job?
That's a great question. So I focused less on astronomy and more on museum education. So worked in lots of different kinds of museums, learning, you know, how to explain things to the public that might be new topics to them, right? And so when I came here, I really focused in on the astronomy. I'd had some interest when I was younger, had a telescope growing up that I had gotten middle school. So a little bit of background, but really I've learned a lot of it on the job. And it's been more about, you know, how to work with people and how to introduce people to this exciting world.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I don't know if you could do this objectively, but how does the Adler Planetarium rank as a planetarium compared to other planetariums in the country?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we are the oldest planetarium in the Western Hemisphere. And I think what is really special about Adler is that we are so centrally focused on space and astronomy. You know, a lot of museums that have planetariums maybe are, you know, natural history or just kind of general science museums. I think it's really cool that we have the chance here to really focus on space, do planetariums, the observatory, other telescopes that we set up, exhibits centered around space history and the history of, you know, going into space. And so I think it's a really unique spot because of that really centralized focus.
Well, let's get into the star of the show, and that is the solar eclipse that's about to happen in a few days on April 8th. Tell us, how does it happen and what makes it special?
Yeah, so first we can think about, you know, what is happening out in space for a solar eclipse to be possible. I think that that really helps put it into perspective and really helps you connect with it a lot more when it's happening on April 8th. So for a solar eclipse to happen, It's a lineup of three celestial objects, right? We have the sun, the moon, and then, of course, us here on Earth as the observer. We're a very important part of that, too. And so what is happening is the moon is passing in the sky and lining up perfectly in between us on Earth and the sun, and blocking our view of the sun in the sky. So this solar eclipse in certain parts of the country will be a total solar eclipse. That is when the moon obscures the entire image of the sun in the sky. Here in Chicago, what we'll see will be a partial solar eclipse. So some of the sun obscured, but not quite all of it.
And why is it a total eclipse in some areas? And what are those areas?
Right. So why a total in some and a partial in other areas? So really comes down to how the eclipse is happening here on Earth. So the sun, as the moon passes in front of the sun, it is casting the moon's shadow onto the Earth's surface, right? Now, these distances in between these objects are incredibly vast, right? So that means that there's, you know, some extra stuff going on with that shadow that influences what you see depending on where you're standing. So when it casts that shadow, there's a really small, dark central part of the shadow. It's about 100 miles across. And that area is where you'll see the total solar eclipse. Outside of that, expanding on a much wider area, you know, this will cover essentially the entire United States, missing some parts of Alaska, but all of the contiguous U.S. covered. That lighter outer shadow is where you see the partial solar eclipse. So further away you are from the central line, the less of the sun will be obscured. Places you can see totality range all the way from starting in the west coast of Mexico, kind of traveling up through Texas, a couple other states. It'll hit just the very southern tip of Illinois down in Carbondale. Some other big cities it'll go through will be places like Indianapolis, a couple cities in Ohio, going up through New York and out through Canada.
Oh, thank you. Does the planetarium have any special viewing events planned for this?
Yeah, so we've actually got a couple different observing events that we will be involved with. So there is the Eclipse Encounter 24, which will be happening here at the planetarium. That'll be an outdoor, you know, open to the public event where people can come and watch the eclipse together. We'll have, you know, weather permitting, some solar projection telescopes out so that people can watch as the eclipse progresses. We'll be handing out solar viewers here as our supplies last. And really, it'll just be, you know, a big party all centered around coming together. One of my favorite parts of eclipses is that they take a couple hours. So it's lots of time to enjoy each other's company, as well as the spectacular celestial phenomena going on. We will also, a couple of us will be down in Carbondale for the total solar eclipse on Southern Illinois University's campus. They are doing a big event at Saluki Stadium there, their football stadium, where we'll be viewing the total solar eclipse. And that is where I will be on April 8th.
Sounds fun. What time will the solar eclipse happen down in the Indianapolis Carbondale area?
So depending on where you are, it will be slightly different timing, especially by like different cities and things. You can imagine it's the shadow passing over the Earth's surface. So it does take some time for those to occur. I would recommend anybody listening to look up what particular time their location will have the start and the end of the eclipse, as well as the maximum. Down in Southern Illinois, it'll start right around 1 o'clock. Our maximum will be at about 2 o'clock. That's when we'll have the total solar eclipse happening. And that'll continue until almost 3:30.
Fantastic. There's always so much happening at the planetarium. What kind of events do you have upcoming in spring and summer in addition to the viewing?
Yeah, so of course, like we're really focused on the solar eclipse right now, but some other exciting stuff that's been going on at the planetarium. We have a couple of new dome shows that have premiered recently. Cosmic Rhythms, which was a joint venture with the Joffrey Ballet, a really interesting and unique show that explores, you know, kind of human movement alongside astronomy. And then one of our new shows, Naya and the Multiverse. So that is a new show that we're really, really proud of and excited about, exploring other universes and really some pretty advanced astronomy topics, you know, this kind of theoretical physics, but bringing it down to a level that's really fun and engaging. It's a great show, and I would really recommend folks coming out and checking it out.
Are there any precautions people have to take when they're looking at the eclipse?
That's a really good question. That's something that we've really harped on because we want to make sure that everybody can view the eclipse, but also ensuring that they are viewing the eclipse safely. Because of course, as everybody knows, taught from a very young age, never look straight at the sun. It is too bright for our eyes, right? And that is absolutely the case during almost all of the eclipse as well. Here in Chicago, where we'll just have a partial eclipse, you will need some sort of aid to view the eclipse throughout the duration of it. The most common way, and I think one that a lot of people are familiar with, is solar viewers, right? These kind of glasses that have this reflective material in the lenses that prevents most of the light from getting through them, dimming that sun down to be safe for observing. You can pick those up at a lot of different places. You can purchase some online, but I will advise people to be careful of the ones that they're purchasing. There are some counterfeit viewers out there. If you're looking for a really, really high quality source, check out the American Astronomical Society. Their website covers a ton of stuff about safe eclipse viewing and where to source solar viewers. Like I said, we'll be passing out a limited supply here at the planetarium on April 8th. So if you come down here, you might be able to snag some. But you can also find them at a lot of libraries and things in town as well.
Unfortunately, there's always scammers out there, and I heard this year that you have to be very careful on which glasses you buy online. So thank you for sharing that with us. If you have a love for astronomy and you want to make money and work in this field, what kind of job opportunities are there?
It's a really good question because, I will say like the job that I have is a little bit unique. There's not a ton of jobs just like mine out there, but there are a lot of ways that you can get into astronomy that go beyond the standard, researcher working at a university. I think that's what people think of first when they think of astronomers. And that is a pretty long path to get there, getting a PhD, often doing a postdoc research position, making your way up to a professor. That can take quite a long time to make it there, right? But I think there's a ton of other skills that you get as an astronomer that are really, really valuable in the world today. I think what a lot of people don't expect is the amount of like programming and coding that goes into it. And of course, people working in those kinds of fields are really, really in demand these days. So there are some paths that take that, but then there are some, more like mine, where it's about interfacing with the public. And trying to make science more accessible for people. And I think that that's something that has really, really blown up in the last, maybe 1 or 2 decades is how to bring science to the general public, and how to make it exciting for people that might be more intimidated by it. And places like, museums, libraries, all of these kinds of public spaces that are still focused on education can be a really great place to do that.
Well, you have the passion for it, and that's how you light the spark of interest in people. So great job on that. Last time we talked to Michelle, she invited us to the Pink Floyd full dome experience. Fantastic. Give us an update. Is the show over? Is it still continuing?
So I think it was supposed to have already kind of run its course by now, but it has been such a popular show, and we've had so many people coming out to watch it. Definitely, the excitement for Pink Floyd has not died down even 50 years later, and so we have continued that on. Folks are still able to come and check out the show. It's the last show that we play at the planetarium every day. And so you can always come and check it out, whether it be on these late Wednesday evenings like we have today, or in the afternoon every other day of the week.
Any inspiring thoughts that you'll leave us with?
Well, especially with this eclipse coming up, I want to just focus on, our place in outer space. I think an eclipse is such a great opportunity to think about that. When I'm going to be standing in totality, I know what I'm going to be thinking about is the fact that the moon is casting its shadow on me, that I can feel one with these kind of celestial objects. And I hope that people take the opportunity to, do a little self-reflection during this time. Those 2.5 hours are a great opportunity to think about where we are in the universe. Think about, the people that are surrounding you on that day, whether it be coworkers like I'll be with or, families. I know a lot of schools in the path of totality will be closing that day to give folks the chance to watch the eclipse. So just appreciate the space around you, the people around you, and remember that Not just an eclipse is an exciting time to look up. Take this chance as a reminder that every night is a great night to go outside and look at the sky.
Hunter, that was fantastic. Thank you for joining us on Green Sense. It was really a pleasure having you on the show. And please give my best and warmest regards to Michelle.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'll definitely pass the word on to Michelle.
That's Hunter Miller, public observing educator at Chicago's Adler Planetarium, with one of the best jobs in the city, giving us an update on how to prepare for viewing of the April 8th total solar eclipse. I'm Robert Colangelo. Thank you for listening to the Green Sense Show. Two very special people make it possible. A big thanks goes to Angela Surdy, our scheduler for booking guests, and Margaret Larkin, our audio producer and social media coordinator, for getting the show out. If you listen to the radio, check out the Green Sense Minute every Thursday and Saturday on 105.9 FM, WBBM, Chicago.
The Green Sense Show is brought to you by CEA Technology, a leader in building indoor growing systems that allow you to grow pesticide-free and conserve fertilizer, water, and energy to grow crops sustainably. Visit CEATECHN.com to learn more.